Hello, everyone. Obviously, I'm not Marlash. We've called in the backup team. All right. While we were sitting there and singing and all that stuff, a passage came to me, so I decided that's what God wanted me to preach on. So that's what I'm going to do. We're going to talk about, first of all, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word you have given me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the passage that came to me was the miracle at Cana. So I'm going to read John 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear mother, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink." I love that. "But you have saved the best till now." This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. So in the Bible, there are a lot of miracles, and most of them have to do with healing or raising people from the dead, or, you know, he cleansed the lepers, you know, those kind of miracles. This one has to do with a wedding and turning water into wine. So I thought that was unique. So Jesus is at this wedding. He's with his disciples. Doesn't say how many, but it could have been 12, it could have been 20, could have been a whole bunch. Weddings in those days were not like weddings today, where you decorate on Friday and Saturday morning, the bride gets dressed and they have a wedding, and, you know, by Saturday evening they're gone. These were days-long celebrations. And apparently the bridegroom was in charge of the festivities. It wasn't his parents, like we do now. And so they ran out of wine. Apparently a lot of big drinkers there, and maybe a lot of good food. The first thing that strikes me about this is that Mary says to Jesus, "They have no more wine." Why she would say it to him and not go to the bridegroom and say, "We're out of wine, do you have any more somewhere else?" She talks to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Why are you talking to me? My time's not come yet." Now, as a typical, I would say, typical Jewish mother, she paid no attention to him. I mean, only Jesus' mother could do that, right? Pay no attention to what he said. And she goes, do whatever he says. Take care of it. And he went ahead and did it, even though he told her it wasn't his time, he was going to take care of it. My feelings on this is, in our current situation in the church, we need to look to Jesus for miracles that are not grand. They're not giving sight to the blind. They're not making a cripple walk. They're simple, everyday kind of miracles. Miracle of one or two people coming to church. The miracle of many people coming to get lunches that we provide for them. The miracle of the food net, providing food for the hungry. The miracle of the lights being on and us having money to to pay for the electric, to pay for the gas, to pay for the water, you know, all the things that keep the church functioning, just an everyday thing. We have a tendency to, as humans, look for the big thing. You know, like all of a sudden, we'll open the doors and 20 people are going to walk in and, you know, we'll have this big, huge church. That's not going to happen. We need to be aware of the simple miracles, like Jesus taking a jar of water and turning it into apparently better wine than the bridegroom had originally provided, which also I think is humorous. Also, his miracle was instant. Like, they filled the water up, and immediately he said, take a cup of it, it's wine now, like that. And we also need to be aware that God's miracles don't necessarily take a long time. When we pray and ask God for things, sometimes it happens immediately. It might not be what you're praying for, it might not be what you want, but it's what you need. And at this point in the wedding, they needed more wine. And again, back in the day, fermented wine, fermented grapes, was healthier for them than water. The water probably was not as pure as the water we drink. And so they drank wine because it was better for them. They weren't going to get dysentery and other diseases that the water probably had, because they didn't have filtration, they didn't have chemicals, they didn't have all that stuff. It was kind of interesting that Jesus said, okay, we'll turn the water into wine. So many, including Baptists, think that drinking is a bad thing. But back in Jesus' day, they drank. I mean, they drank apparently in excess, because he said that, you know, usually you brought the cheaper wine after everybody got drunk. So again, some things that we hold as, what I want to say, as truth, if we look at the Bible and look at what they did in those days, what it says in the Bible is that drunkenness is a sin, not drinking. So anyway, so he performed this miracle, and and it says it was the first of his miraculous signs. How many people do you think really knew that he had done that? What does it say? It says the master of the banquet didn't know. Only the servants who had drawn the water, the disciples, Jesus, his mother, and the people who had drawn the water knew of the miracle. But somehow it got out to the world that he had done this sign. And so then people started to follow him, because they saw that this was not just a normal preacher, a normal prophet, that he was doing miraculous things. Also, the other thing in here that I think is interesting, he called the master of the banquet, whoever that is, called the bridegroom and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. How many of us, when you're meeting someone or you are going somewhere, you bring out the best of you? You know, you want to make an impression. You're not yourself. You put on maybe different clothes, maybe you fix your hair differently. You put on the best first, and then the real you comes out. And what happened here, the master of the banquet said, everybody usually puts the best stuff out first, and then the other stuff later. What about if we put out the other stuff first? What if we were ourselves to people? What if we were honest with one another? What if we were not trying to put on airs, or not trying to make ourselves look bigger or better than we are? Just who we are. To me, that's what will attract people to this church, is because everybody here, I've known you all for a long, long time, you're all wonderful people. People who come need to see the you, not the best that you might have put out initially. And I think there's a lot that can be said for putting on your best to begin with, and then when they really get to know you, they think, well, what happened to that person? You know, that person was the person that I liked, and now this is a different person. You need to be that person all the time. You need to be the best you can be, not the best. Does that make sense? At least it kind of did to me. So anyway, and also at the very last part of this, he said, he thus revealed his glory. Who made him do that? His mother. His mother said, this is the time. Even though he said, that's not my time yet. She said, yeah, it is. This is what you're going to do. Now, my feeling is that she had seen him do things like this before. How would she know that he could even do that? You know, I mean, how many of you have sons that you could say, how about if you turn this water into wine for me? Or how about if you heal this person? She has seen something that he had done when he was younger, before this wedding, that made her know that he could do that, And it says, and then his disciples put their faith in him. Okay, they were there with him previously at the wedding. Did they not have their faith in him then? Apparently it took a miracle to do that. Hopefully it doesn't take a miracle for us to do that. We do that because of the word that's in here. We do that because of what he's done for us, small ways, big ways. We put our faith in him, not because he could turn water into wine, but because he upholds us in the bad times, he helps us in the good times, and he's with us all the time, and we know that. But back in this day, when Jesus was, I don't know, in his 30s, right? This was the first thing he did in public. It wasn't the first thing he ever did. It was the first thing he did in public that made people believe that he was somebody special. So I guess my takeaway for this is look for the small miracles. Look for the everyday miracles. Finding a parking place when you need one. Finding something you've lost in your house or your apartment. Finding, you know, a phone number of a friend, or, you know, just little things that we just take for granted, but I would like to think of them as small miracles that Jesus is doing in our lives every day. So I'm not going to be turning water into wine today, sorry, but I do want you to take away that Jesus' miracles are not always huge. They can be just everyday things. And those are the things we need to look for. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the miracles you do for us, the things you do for us on a daily basis that we just assume are coincidence or serendipity, and know that you are in charge of everything. And we need to recognize that, and we need to acknowledge that in our everyday life. Help us to look to one another. Help us to be our best selves, but not our over-the-top best selves. Help us to be honest and with one another and with you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.